So this morning, when Paul came up and prayed, he referenced the song that we had just sung, which actually is how I wanted to start my sermon this morning. So Paul and I are on the same page. But I had asked John and the team to lead us in singing the song Holy Spirit, which if you were here last week, you might remember we sang that right before the sermon last week. No, they weren't being lazy on song selection. I actually asked them to sing this song because as we sang it last week, it was kind of resonating with me. At our church where I attended in South Carolina, we sang that song all the time. And so I've had a lot of time to think about the words and the lyrics. And I don't know how often you actually think about the words you're singing, but that particular song has always struck me as unique because one of the main phrases we sing is, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And that kind of struck me as I heard the song the first time many years ago, thinking, well, what does that mean? We sing, Holy Spirit, oh, you're welcome here. Well, what do we mean by that? Because isn't the Holy Spirit as part of the Godhead omnipresent? He's everywhere. So I say, oh, you're welcome here, but hasn't he already been here? Isn't he inside of me and with us? We talked about that last week, how the Holy Spirit as believers dwells within us. So we sing this line over and over again, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, but what do we mean by that? And so again, I've had some time to think about this, and I've kind of come up with there are two ways of looking at it. And you can kind of look at them both as if you're at a party. So let's say you're hosting a party at your home. The first, and to me, the easier way to understand it, is that as the host, you go and you answer the doorbell rings, you go answer the door, and you welcome your guests to come in. And so the guest is arriving at your home for the first time. And so in essence, we're saying, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Please come into our church gathering. That's what I instinctively think of, but that doesn't make sense if we believe the Holy Spirit is everywhere and the Holy Spirit is inside of us. So what do we mean when we sing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here? If we're not inviting him to come for the first time to be with us, it means more like this. If you're at your party and you're mingling among the guests, and you go up and you talk to a specific guest and you say, hey, you're welcome here. I'm so glad that you're here. You're welcome. Make yourself comfortable here. You're accepted here. I'm so glad. I desire that you are here. And this is the essence of what we were singing. Holy Spirit, we're glad you're here. We're welcoming you here. We value you. And then we follow that up by singing, come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Not a mention of come into our church and flood the place, but we're glad you're already here. Please be more here. Please fill us more. And so this song really reminds us of what we started to do last week as we started this More series. That in 2018, we are seeking more of God. We are seeking to invite him to be with us more, to fill us more. Now, that doesn't come with a long to-do list, because as we've talked about, he's already here. He's in us and with us as followers of Jesus. Last week, we looked at John chapter 14, and Jesus said that he would give us his Spirit to be in us and with us. And so what we're trying to do this year is to seek God more, to seek his Spirit more, to welcome him into our everyday lives more, to value him more, and to allow him to fill us more. One of the lines in the song that we sang over and over again was, let us become more aware of your presence. Not just come into our lives, but let us become more aware of your presence in our lives. And so that's what we're seeking to do this year, and specifically in this series. While we know that the Holy Spirit is in us and with us as believers in Jesus, we know that when Jesus forgives our sins, he gives us his Spirit to be inside of us. What we're learning is that we can experience more of him, that we can have a deeper relationship as we grow in faith. And so that's what we're seeking to do this month and this year. This past week was also the Brethren in Christ week of prayer and fasting. And so last week there was a devotional packet available, and several of you took that home. And I think the first day in that reading, Alan Robertson, our national director, had written, and there was a quote that grabbed my attention. He wrote, becoming a disciple of Jesus is not an instant process or experience. Rather, it is a journey that it requires a long obedience in the same direction. And I think that kind of focuses on what we're talking about here with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time experience or a one-time thing. It's a process. That as we walk a life of faith, we can grow closer to the Holy Spirit as we walk this long obedience in the same direction. And so that's our goal this year and in the series is to experience more of the Holy Spirit, to build a deeper relationship. And I realize this is outside many of our comfort zones because it's somewhat different and unique from maybe the upbringing we've had. But we're going to explore it and kind of do it together. And so last week we addressed the first of several challenges in getting to know the Holy Spirit more. And last week we said the first challenge is that we don't know what to do with the Holy Spirit. For many of us, we just don't know how to conceptualize what this Spirit is. What does it mean to have an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God? God desires this relationship, we just don't know how to do that. And so I'd encourage you to spend this past week just talking to God and praying and just opening your mind up and saying, God, how can I have more of you? God, show me what it means to have a relationship with you. And so this week, I want to address the second challenge as I see it. And that really is that we don't necessarily feel a need. Let me flesh that out a bit, because some of us may hear that and say, we don't feel a need for the Holy Spirit. And we would instinctively say, oh no, I know I need the Holy Spirit, but do we feel the need? See, oftentimes we walk and live the Christian life trying to do the right things and trying to avoid the wrong things. And so what we do is we create these lists of do's and don'ts. And for most of us, we're pretty good at following those lists. We say, if I want to live for Jesus, here are the things I should do and here are the things I shouldn't do. And I try my best to follow those lists. And I'm pretty good at it. And most of you are pretty good at it. In the midst of doing that, we talk about depending on the Holy Spirit. It's biblical. We talk about, oh, we should depend on the Holy Spirit. We talk about that, but many times it's a lip service. We say it, but we don't know how to do it. See, the responsibility rests on us. If I'm trying to say, if I follow this do list and this don't list, it's me following the list. And so the responsibility rests on me. There's no real dependence on the Spirit. There's no real need for the Spirit. Now, many of us would struggle to admit that, but if you look at how we live our lives, many times we're living it this way. As long as I do the right thing or I don't do the wrong thing, then I'm doing well. And yet we're told to depend on the Holy Spirit. We really don't feel like we're missing anything. And so I wanted to start this morning by looking at Jesus' words in John chapter 7. And they'll be on the screen here behind me. And Jesus says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him would later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus is having this conversation. He tells his followers that the Holy Spirit will flow from within them. Now this repeats what we looked at last week when Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be in us and with us. Here Jesus says he will flow from within inside of us. But notice how he prefaces these words here. He said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to drink." Do you see the need? If you're thirsty, if you have a need, come to me and drink. When you know that you have a need, you can go to Jesus and he'll fill it. But many of us don't feel a need for the Spirit because we think we can do it on our own. We don't understand the Spirit, and so we figure we'll just do it on our own, and it's easier that way, and we're not thirsty. We've settled to hold the Holy Spirit at this arm's length. We know he's there. He's out here. As long as I acknowledge him in some way, it's okay. And what's happening is we're missing out. Jesus says, if you have a thirst for the Spirit, come and he will give it to us. But many of us don't even know that we're thirsty. We need to become more aware of our need for God in all things. Because the truth is, not knowing a need is dangerous. Just because you don't feel a need doesn't mean it's not real. An example of this, a few years ago, I was watching a Law and Order show or one of those crime shows, and there was an individual on the show that had congenital insensitivity to pain, or CIP. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. I found it unique. It's these individuals who literally cannot feel pain. If they get cut, they don't know unless they see it. They don't feel the pain. Now, that sounds interesting to me. If I can run and go and keep going and I don't feel the pain, there's nothing to stop me. If I don't feel the need, it sounds pretty good. But it's actually very dangerous. Because if you can't feel that you got cut and you're bleeding and you don't know to stop the bleeding, it's not going to go well for you. And so I was thinking about that condition in regards to our spiritual need. If we say, oh, I don't need the Holy Spirit. I'm doing okay. And yet what we realize is that when we don't know that we have a need, it's even more dangerous. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to have all of him in our lives, more of him in our lives, and we need to become aware of the thirst in our own lives. Jesus says we need to desire or thirst for the Spirit, and he will give us more. Now, understand, yes, we all have a connection. We're all filled with the Spirit already as believers. Jesus says, when you believe in me, the Holy Spirit will come and be in and with you. We talked about that last week, but here we understand that we can have more or a deeper relationship. Jesus uses this illustration of thirst, which is interesting because thirst is an ongoing process. I don't get a drink of water and I'm set for the rest of my life. I have a drink today and a few hours later, I'm thirsty again. And it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. We don't just receive the Holy Spirit when we believe in Jesus and go, okay, I'm good now. Jesus says, no, you should desire more of the Spirit to grow in this relationship, to seek him as you would seek a drink every day. So the question then is, how do we thirst? Or how do we grow a desire within ourselves? Because I can say, oh, I should desire the Spirit, but how do I cultivate that desire? And the truth is, there's no simple to-do list. And we've said this several times recently. As we seek to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's not a step-by-step process. It's not a 1, 2, 3 and you've achieved your goal. It takes time. It takes building into. The Apostle Paul tries to answer this question in the book of 2 Corinthians, but I'll warn you, his answer is not easy to digest. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul's writing, and he says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And here Paul says that he experiences a deepening dependence on the Spirit, a deepening relationship with the power of Jesus within him by doing what? By experiencing weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and difficulties. Paul says in these times, he knew he couldn't do it on his own. In these times, he was thirsty. In these times, he depended on God more. And so what we learn from Paul is if we want a greater desire for God's presence in our lives, we have to embrace hardships. Now, notice Paul wasn't happy about the hardships themselves. He says, 3 times I pleaded with God to take these things away. This isn't just a casual ask. He's pleading, he's begging, I begged God to take these hardships away. He's not happy about the hardships themselves, but he's rejoicing in the hardships because God is with him. That God will turn his weakness to strength. That the Holy Spirit will be more powerful in his life when he depends on the Holy Spirit. He was more dependent and he was more thirsty, and God was there in the midst of the hardships. Now, I know that none of you came to church this morning. You jumped out of bed this morning and said, I hope I can go to church today and be reminded that I want more bad stuff to happen in my life. Maybe a few of you did, but I'm assuming most of you did not jump out of bed saying, I want more bad stuff. Like, you come to church because you want to be uplifted. In some way or another, we're all struggling this morning. Some of us are going through some slight challenges. Some of us might be going through some real horrific ordeals. And so we come to church to fellowship with one another, to fellowship with God, because we want to see those things improve. We want to know that we can survive this traumatic thing we're going through. The answer to our hardships, the answer to our difficulties, is to be with God. We know that, but do we really know that? God won't necessarily take away the hardships, and that's the thing we have a hard time understanding. We come to God in the middle of our challenges, and we expect God to take them away. And he doesn't promise to take them away, but he does promise he will be with us, and he will fill us with his presence. And it's in these moments of trials that we can experience a deeper relationship, a growing dependence on him and his Spirit inside of us. Last week we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, these things that grow in the midst of our lives because of the Spirit inside of us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and all the rest. And it's in our hardships, as we truly turn and depend on God, we will see these fruits growing within us. And so God uses the hard moments to show us our need for Him, to develop a thirst for Him and thirst for His Spirit. He doesn't create the hardships, but He uses them to show us that we're thirsty. The more we experience the Holy Spirit, the deeper we grow in a relationship, the more we can begin to echo Paul's words. He says, I delight in my weakness. I delight in my trials. I delight in this thing that is so hard to live through, because when I am weak, then I am strong. And so as we walk through life and we face trials and hardships, the more we depend on God, the more we'll realize that God was filling us in those moments. And it all comes back to this awareness of need, a desire and a thirst for more of God. And so the first thing to understand is to have more of God, or to realize the need for more of God, is we find that need in hardships. The good news is this morning, we don't have to wait for the hardships to find more of God. All right, so I hear this very clearly. We find more of God in hardships, but we don't have to wait for them. We can have more of God now. And so we're going to spend a few minutes here in Luke chapter 11. And I want to start by reading the end of the passage. In Luke chapter 11, the second half of verse 13, Jesus says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Jesus says God will give us more of the Spirit if we do what? Ask. This is different. It's actually okay to ask God for more of the Spirit. It's okay to say, God, I want a deeper relationship with you. See, sometimes I think when we think about asking for more of something, we feel like that's not good. We should be content with what we have. Yet Jesus says, ask God and He will give you even more of the Spirit. Think about it this way, going back to the dinner party illustration. Apparently I was hungry this week. If you're hosting a dinner party and you're serving food to your guests, how do you know someone wants more of something? They ask, can I have more dessert? Of course you can have more dessert. They ask for it because there's a desire. And so Jesus says, ask God. If you desire more of the Spirit, if you desire a deeper relationship with the Spirit, ask and He will give it to you. Don't just wait for the need to arise. We can ask and seek now. So now I want to look at what Jesus says prior to these words in Luke chapter 11, because it helps us to understand how to ask. So Jesus in Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey and has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't give up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Now, I don't know about you, but I've heard these verses many times. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be answered or open. And I've always, the bottom line has always been, well, when you ask God for stuff, He'll answer you. But as we read these verses, it's not about asking God for stuff. It's about asking God for His Spirit. He says, if you ask, I will give. And I think there are three things, there's probably lots of things, but three specific things this morning that we can pull out of these verses about how to ask. The first thing I think that we learn about asking for more of the Spirit is be persistent. Jesus says, suppose this friend comes and you need to go to see your friend and ask for food in the middle of the night. So it's midnight, there's a knock at your door and someone wants food. Now, Jesus says, they're not going to give the guy food because of their friendship. It's because of his persistence. He says, I can't go away. I need the food. I know the door is locked. I know you're in bed. I need food, though. I need food. It's midnight, I need food. It's the persistence. Jesus says, it's not the friendship, it's the persistence. We should pursue the Spirit and not give up. Be persistent. Keep asking. And as I mentioned already, we sometimes feel guilty asking for more. This is the idea we should be content with what we have. We teach this to our children all the time. Be content with what you have. Don't ask for more presents. And so there's this guilt. We say you should ask God for more. Be persistent. And I feel guilty. And yet Jesus says I should do this. So I really should not be experiencing guilt. If Jesus says ask for more, I should be asking for more. I shouldn't be feeling guilty. Why do we ask, though? Why do you think Jesus says we should be persistent in asking? Because asking reveals a longing. When we ask, it shows our need. So growing up, I assume like every other kid, I wanted toys. What kid doesn't want more toys? And so my parents gave us an allowance. I remember it was $2 when we were little. It got up to $5. We were really in the money. And so if we wanted something, we'd ask, and they would say, well, you have an allowance. And so we would save up to buy whatever it is we wanted. But what would happen is oftentimes we would go to the store, having finally saved up the money, get the toy, get up to the cash register, they'd give us the total, we'd pull out our wallets, and Dad would pay for it, which was really exciting. Of course, the next time we went, he wouldn't, so you never knew when he'd do it. And so I finally asked my dad, because one time I assumed he'd pay for it, and he didn't. I actually had to use my money. I finally said, Dad, explain to me, why sometimes will you pay for this toy or this item that I've saved up for? My dad said, well, I want to buy you things that you want. But oftentimes when you ask me for something, you may not actually want it. He says, when I see that you're willing to spend the time saving your money and investing your own resources to purchasing that thing, I know you really want it. And so I'll pay for it sometimes. He was not consistent on this. But his point was he saw the need or the desire. He saw true desire that we really wanted this toy. Because you've all seen kids get brand new toys that they wanted, and 2 days later they never touch again. And so my dad said when he saw the longing and the desire for that item, he would get it for us. I think it's the same principle here. When I ask God for the Spirit, say, oh God, I would like more of your Spirit. And I do it one time, and then I forget about that need and that desire. That need or desire wasn't really there. And so Jesus says, be persistent. Continue to ask the God to show your longing and your desire. It's in your persistence that God sees your heart. The second thing that I think we see in this passage is that when we ask God for more of his Spirit, we can have confidence. We can have confidence in the asking. Jesus can't be much clearer when he says, if you ask, it will be given. So often when we come and we ask God for things, we ask very tentatively and hesitantly. You know, God, I kind of would maybe sort of like if you would potentially give me more of your Spirit. We're hesitant to ask him when we tentative to ask because there's always this fear in our minds of, well, what if God says no? So I want to give God lots of opportunities to say no to me. If it's okay with you, God, maybe you could sort of do this. But God is offering us this gift. He's giving his Spirit to be within us. He's saying you can have more if you ask. We already have the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus, and God is offering us a deeper and growing relationship, a grander experience with his Spirit. And he's saying, have confidence when you ask, because I will give it to you. And I really think this idea of persistence and confidence go hand in hand. You can't be persistent without confidence. Jesus says, ask persistently and have confidence because God will give it to you. And the third thing I think we learn, and this one I think is kind of obvious but still should be stated, is that we can know it's for our good. We know that this is a good thing. Jesus says that we as earthly parents care for our children and we desire to give them good gifts. I wouldn't do anything to cause Alan, my son, harm. I try to take care of him. I try to give him good things. Yesterday was we had his birthday party, and so we wanted to give him good gifts. Right? We didn't wrap up a snake or a scorpion or some of the illustrations of Jesus. We gave him good things, things that he wanted. And this is the same idea. God says, this is a good thing. Ask for this gift. It's a good thing. You should desire it. We're invited to ask for a fuller experience, a deeper relationship, because it's a good gift from our Heavenly Father. And so as we start seeking God more this year, we realize it begins by building a relationship with the Spirit. It starts with having a desire for more, for acknowledging our need. It starts with seeking and asking. So what if you're doing these things? What if last week you began to pray and ask God to open your mind to experiencing His Spirit more? What if this week you say, I'm going to begin to ask because I do have a need? What if you're doing these things and yet you don't feel like anything's happening? What if you're seeking God, but you don't feel like your relationship is growing? And I think this needs to be addressed this morning, because many of us will leave here today saying, I'm going to ask God for more of His Spirit. And a week, 2 weeks from now, you may be going, I haven't noticed a difference. And I want to remind you of the series we did a few months ago called Unstuck. And we talked about getting unstuck from religion. And we talked about how religion is about a formula or a process. In a religion, if I do X, Y, and Z, then God has to do this. And what we said then, and I'm repeating now, is that religion has nothing to do with this. We're talking about a relationship with God, and so there's no formula. We're not looking for results. We're looking to grow in a relationship, and we can't control a relationship. If I do X, Y, and Z, God doesn't necessarily have to do something. I can't control a relationship. Example, I can't force Allison, my wife, to love me more. I can only pursue her. I can buy her flowers. I can do nice things. I can't force her to love me more, but I can pursue her. We can't force the Spirit into a deeper relationship. We can only pursue Him. We can ask for more of Him. He wants a deeper relationship with us, and it will happen. God says, if you ask, it will be given. But it will be given in His timing. In John chapter 3, Jesus compares the Holy Spirit to the wind. He says, you can feel the wind blowing, but you don't know where it's coming from and you don't know where it's going. We can't determine how God will specifically act. We can't control God. We know that God says, if we ask, He will give us more of His Spirit, a deeper relationship. We just don't know how or when. But we do know that He loves us. There's no doubt that God loves us. There's no doubt that God desires a relationship with us. Scripture is very clear on that. It's just we don't know how His Spirit will act or when. Sometimes God chooses to act all at once and very quickly. And we've heard people's stories throughout our lives, I'm sure, of people who have experienced this huge movement of the Holy Spirit, how they grow deeply in a relationship in a matter of minutes or days. God hits them hard with the Spirit. At the same time, we've heard stories of people who have said, I've walked with God my whole life, and each day I get a little closer to God. Each day I feel the Spirit a little bit more. People can walk their whole lives seeking God and growing progressively. As I shared at the beginning of the message, the quote from Alan Robertson, this idea of a long obedience in the same direction. It's a journey. And so if you're seeking God's Spirit and you're asking earnestly for more of His Spirit, you're on the right track. And so don't feel upset if God isn't responding according to your timetable. It's about growth. It's about a relationship. It's not about timing and results. We all should be asking and seeking God more to grow our dependence and our need for Him, but it's not necessarily going to happen in the timetable that we think. No matter how long we've walked with Christ, there's always more of the Spirit available to us. We need to desire Him, to seek Him, and ask for more of Him. And God will increase our fellowship with Him. And so as we go this week seeking more of God and asking for more of God, I've given you two thoughts on the bottom of your notes to reflect on this week. And I'm going to read, they're on your bulletin, I know you can read them, but I want to read them too this morning. The two things to reflect on. The first one is, what hardships are you facing? Read 2 Corinthians 12:10. How is God revealing His strengths in these areas of weakness? Just as Paul said, my weaknesses are turned into strength. What weaknesses are you struggling with? How are these things helping your dependence on God's presence in your life? Because as we've said, our dependence, our need, our thirst grows in the midst of our hardships. What hardships are you facing? And is God there? Or how is God there? The second assignment this week would be to reread Luke 11:13, and to think about what Jesus means when he says, how much more? How much more will you have the Spirit if you ask? Do you desire more of the Spirit? And spend some time in prayer this week asking God for more. In our walk with Christ, we often talk about yielding more of our lives to God. We talk about if you want to live the Christian life, you have to give God your life. You have to yield more to God. By surrendering ourselves to God, we deepen our relationship and we deepen our dependence. And this is true, but it's also on our terms. I choose to yield whatever area of my life. If I yield, then I'll grow with God. And there's little to no thirst in that. It's good, but it's only half the problem. But what if, as I yield my life to God, as I give him more and more of me, I also ask God for more of him? Again, usually asking for more of something is considered rude. If I ask for more dessert, I should be content with what I had. But Jesus tells us to ask. Jesus said, you should be asking for more. So we're okay. You're not being rude. It's good. The question this morning is, do you want more of God in your life? Do you want a deeper relationship with God? Do you want to experience more of his Spirit? If the answer is yes, then we need to ask. We need to pursue him. And so I want to close by just rereading Jesus' words in Luke chapter 11. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Let's pray. God, this morning we come and we just begin to acknowledge that we need you. On the surface, we all would say that. On the surface, we acknowledge, yes, we need you. We need your forgiveness. We need your love. And yet, as Jesus shares with us, we should have a thirst for more of the Spirit. And we begin to realize, God, that we don't depend on you enough. We let you into our lives in certain areas, and the rest we say, I think I can figure this out on my own. And so, God, this morning, I pray that you would reveal to our hearts our desire and our need for more of you. God, help us to see the areas that we are trying to carry on our own and show us that we don't have to do that. That we can have all of you in us because you've already placed your Spirit inside of us. God, help us to know that it is okay to ask. That you encourage us to ask and to seek. That we can be persistent and have confidence in coming before you knowing that we are asking for a good thing as we ask for more of your Spirit, a deeper relationship, a deeper dependence, a deeper awareness of your Spirit. So God, this morning I'm asking that you would help us become more aware of your presence. God, help us to be more aware of your presence in our lives as we go through each and every day. Help us to depend more and more on you, that we would experience your love and your grace. God, we ask for more of you today. In Christ's name, amen.